Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Tune into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
What is up? It's Monday. Welcome to Shift Drink, Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C.
Admo. Represent.
I'm Matthew Ramsey, cheeseburger life coach, taco entrepreneur, and patron of the Mezcal Arts.
And I am not Eddie Kim. I am Adam Greenberg filling in while Eddie is in Japan. I am an old school hip hop aficionado, upcoming owner of Coconut Club, and master cannabis som. Self-proclaimed.
New co-host, who dis?
What up?
Welcome, Adam. Yeah, Eddie is still overseas, my better half, and I think he's having all the fun over there.
Tons of fun. Toto toilets. Yeah, he's loving it.
That was my nickname in high school. Tons of fun.
Man, we haven't even introduced you yet.
That's okay.
Every week we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week we are joined by our favorite emo wine punk, Sebastian. Inventor of the hot dog meat straw and owner of Primrose over in Brookland.
What up?
What up? Sorry, so what's your nickname in high school?
I had a lot. I just like to say that. Anytime somebody says something weird, I always say that was my nickname in high school.
Your hair is looking amazing today, by the way.
I washed it.
Just for everybody that's not in the studio, which is everybody, what color are we calling this today?
It's sort of like a... Hand of God.
Hand of God.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
If God had hands.
If God had hands, it would be this color.
Now,
they would be.
Adam, you and Sebastian know each other.
We do. I actually had the, like most people in the industry probably would have met Sebastian in his career. I sort of went opposite here. It was his lovely wife, wonderful Lauren Winter.
Hey, girl.
Of Edit Lab. Shout out. She is doing Coconut Club along with all of her amazing partners, Brian, Megan, everybody over at Edit Lab.
DiNapoli represent.
And, yeah, right? How could I possibly forget DiNapoli? And Sebastian and I got introduced to each other because we had a lot of things that we enjoy and restaurants and chatting and whatnot. So I had the pleasure of meeting that power couple and see them a lot, run into them, try to spend as much time as I can around them, soaking up their
Do you guys geniuses. Have a power couple name?
Labastian.
Ooh, power.
That's good. That's power really move. Good.
I just came up with that shit.
You guys stay tuned. There's going to be more of this. Just improv right here. Sebastian's on it. All right. So shift drink.
Wait.
Sebastian, you ordered yourself a...
Gin and tonic. Yep.
Just keeping it light, fresca?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I think I was discussing it today with my homie Frank, represent Frank, Primrose wine, cocktail aficionado at the Primrose. So we were discussing and I figured out that gin is my favorite spirit.
Ooh.
At nighttime, I would drink probably a Negroni until I'm drunk. And in the daytime, I will drink gin and tonics until I'm drunk.
You've dabbled in a lot of... spirits. I know
many.
When I first started throwing Porn Burger, you gifted me a homemade Amaro.
Yeah.
Have you ever experimented with making gin?
I have, actually. Gina Cherisavani can tell you about this. But gin's basically just an infusion of vodka.
Right.
So, yeah, I've made gin.
I've done the cold compound stuff.
Yeah, right? And my shit looked like a terrarium.
Yeah, exactly.
It was nasty. It was nasty.
Bathtub
it
gin.
Was like dark green and there was like shit floating in it. Not actual poop, but like there's lots of stuff.
A lot of things.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Sticks and stuff.
What were your primary botanicals?
I mean, I tried to go non-so-hardcore junipery. I mean, juniper was obviously in there, but I went real citrusy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was into the brightness.
I will say, like, color aside, it's kind of refreshing when you can make your own gin and make your own tonic. And then
everybody can make their own shit if they want to.
Yeah.
But you just got to want to.
Time. Yeah. And Adam, what are you shifting on?
So today, or, I decided,
I guess, what are we shipping?
Just being a big fan of Sebastian and being asked to do the show today, called a buddy of mine out in Denver, Colorado. Shout out to Mike Liebowitz. Do a lot of shout outs on the show.
Mike Liebowitz.
Harry Lieb, owner of Oleo Veritas Cannabis out in Denver, sent us some 100% flower produced pens. So we have some tangerine haze and we have some sour lemon, a little bit of vape pen kind of. Into this. So, Sebastian, are you more of a traditionalist when it comes to, and maybe not speaking on now, but maybe in your past of how do you feel about the flower?
Yeah, let's air it.
The flower versus the concentration.
I prefer green.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, when it comes down to it, I would love to sit around and roll joints all day.
Yeah. Are you good at rolling joints? I'm personally horrible.
I am terrible, but I like to think that I'm good at it. So now I just buy those raw cones.
Yeah.
And then I look like a badass.
Yeah. Hell yeah. The cones.
I have one of those joint rollers. Have you seen this?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that from my middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things were dope.
Yeah, I still fly by those.
I love it.
So they are sativas, an upper, obviously. Perfect. We're not looking to go to bed, so creative, free and clear.
I can never get down on that indica, man.
Yeah, the indicas are, a little more medically induced if you need to sleep well, insomnia, things like that.
I mean, helps. Let's be honest. Like, indica is good for watching movies, sex and falling asleep.
Laughing. Yeah, it's good for laughing.
That's good for laughing.
And we're all kind of the same age group here, so I think we all speak on like joints and flower. Beautiful. I'll be 68 next week.
You look great.
Cool.
But it's amazing to see where the industry's gone, and kind of we're about obviously to talk about restaurants, but talk about branding and kind of just where products have gone in the cannabis industry. And here in DC, we obviously have the loopholes, and
the loopholes are great.
The loopholes are pretty funny and hilarious to explain to people.
Now, you explain yourself, Adam, as a cannabis som. have you
that just means I watch Vice a lot at 2 a.m.
Yeah, right,
that's all that means.
Have you personally paired any, like, done any like weed food
pairings? Yeah, I've done some really cool dinners before. There's that show Bon Appetit.
Let's do that shit, dude.
Yeah, man, we can do some stuff. It's not something like I base like my cuisine around or anything, but it's definitely really interesting when you start digging into where CBD has gone and kind of the medical benefits of it, and then when you get into the terpenes and the flavors and things that you can do. The stigma or the stigmatism of, let's just get high and sit on the couch and eat Doritos. I think people are understanding. Yeah, I mean, listen, I come from a family where my brother was addicted to opioids and things like that. And had there been options like CBD,
right,
could have maybe changed. And it was all due to an injury. So, we're here to talk about Sebastian and get into that. But I think there's a lot of ways we can go with this and do some fun dinners. And
yeah, absolutely.
Got to be careful.
I'm totally down.
Yeah. Count me in. Listeners, you're listening to history right now. This is
making it
more to come. And I guess also I was gifted a little boomerang to Eddie and Matthew. Eddie, I'm not going to drink it all, or maybe I will. From Frank, we have a little Rojo Singani, some
shout out to them.
Rosé, some
doing some cool shit in Bolivia.
Like, that's all I can read. But
there's some stuff in there. Don't ask me because I'm the wine guy.
It's very tasty.
It's delicious.
It's very
Carly,
tasty.
T. Lai, Claire. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to that. To the nuts and bolts of it. Let's start out with you telling us a little bit about yourself through a very little game we call Two Truths, One Lie.
Two Truths, One Lie.
That was hot.
Yeah.
That was real hot.
It was real hot.
Which do you want me to start with?
Don't tell us. We're going to guess.
Ooh.
So tell us the lie first.
Sticky. Well, then
I'm just kidding.
But my truths are so obvious.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, that's okay. I don't mind a freebie. Softball is.
Well, I don't have a choice anymore because I already wrote them down and now I'm on the spot. All right. Truth, I skate.
Oh, man. This is okay.
Oh, am I shit in the bed here?
Yeah, you're shit in the bed.
Am I supposed to say something?
Just serious? Say three things and we have to guess which one is the lie.
Oh, you didn't make it out like that, bro?
Two truths.
What? You didn't say lie. That shit.
I think we all went to high school, man. Okay, sorry. Sensitive point.
Lie number one.
Lie number
he
one.
He went to high school.
He went to high school, yeah.
Lie number one. I participated in high school.
Nice.
Okay, two truths. I am bisexual. Is that a good one?
It's out there.
I'm bipolar, and what if I just tell all lies?
You can tell whatever you want, man.
I am heavily medicated to the point of somewhat being comatose at times.
Okay. Three really heavy options.
Well, Jesus, you kind of put it on the table. Like, what am I supposed to do?
One truth, one lie? I kind of don't want to choose. Can we just like not choose?
Was it two lies or one truth?
It's two truths to one lie, technically. But okay, really, this has turned into whatever you want it to be. That's kind of the
welcome to Candyland, where Sebastian makes all the rules.
You know, most people go like, "I was a professional soccer player." They keep it pretty.
All right,
you know.
You said I was softballing.
There you go.
I'm gonna say the lie is you're comatose. A good part of the time, port part. Adam,
I mean, I've met you enough. We're both bipolar, probably.
We're definitely both bipolar.
Who the hell knows on that one? We're in the restaurant industry. That's the softball.
The swings.
I'm going to agree with Matt. I'm going to agree with Matt and say that you're comatose most of the time. That's not true.
Yeah, but I'm also not really bisexual. I mean, I've been pretty open.
Yeah,
we'll just say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you win.
Okay. Wow, that's a new
sound. I found that for you.
100 points.
Yeah, that was an archived memory bank there.
I really hope my mom and dad don't hear this.
Yeah. It's just my mom, maybe your wife, and Eddie Kim. Well,
it's the get to know Sebastian time.
That's right. We're in it, man.
This is part of it.
This is the Sebastian hour.
Also, I do skate.
I knew that part.
All right.
Yep.
Softballs.
Where do you skate?
Me and my homie Phil built a half pipe in his backyard.
Did you really?
Well, and a couple other friends. Brendan, what up?
Do you ever go pool skating?
Legal pool skating?
Yeah.
No. I'm not that cool.
I have some friends. They made a documentary on these people that basically converted old pools in D.C. into skate zones, parks.
So rad.
All right. Well, tell us about Primrose.
Primrose is a lovely little French, I would say like modern bistro wine bar. Up in Brookland, not to be confused with Brooklyn, although people always like, oh, this is like the new Brooklyn
Brooklyn
of DC. Yeah. Why do people always say that shit? Oh, it's like the Brooklyn of DC. Fuck you. Nothing's ever going to be the Brooklyn of DC. There is no Brooklyn and there is no Queens and it's just DC.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're up near Catholic University where there is nothing like Brooklyn.
It's like the Staten Island of DC.
It's pretty residential. It's pretty cool. Like everybody that's lived there for a really long time is really established, and it's a lovely place to be. And there's young families and old families, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty upwardly mobile and pretty. It's a thought provoking place.
You're also a resident of Brooklyn.
I am also a resident of Brooklyn.
Did you move there first and then decided to open the space in Brooklyn, or?
That's like chicken or the egg. I can't really remember. It all happened pretty much at the same time.
Simultaneously.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were open. So we moved there, but we rented for like a half a year. And then we ended up buying the house we were renting. But we moved there in last February. And then I think maybe we signed the lease on the restaurant like a couple months beforehand.
Right on.
And so we've only been open 5 months. But yeah, it's a nice little, 50-seat French, natural French wine bar, weirdo wine list, cool little bistro vibe. But we got this new chef who was just fucking smoking.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's wicked good.
What we got coming out of the kitchen?
JDP, what up? He cooked at the Laundry for 2 years, and he cooked at Danielle for a year.
Okay, I've heard of these places.
Yeah. So he's got nasty, nasty skills.
Right on.
I think he's got a lot of aspirations, which is super fun.
Okay.
It's super fun. He's doing really cool stuff.
Well, I mean, you're an idea man.
It's true.
Your wife is obviously very good at what she does. Do you surround yourself with idea people?
I do. Yeah. I get really, really bored really quickly because I'm also ADHD. I should have put that in the game.
Fact.
I'm on a lot of Adderall. all the time.
Yeah.
But you know what? It keeps me focused, so that's a good thing.
It's a real thing. I've been doing Adderall all weekend just because...
Just to party?
No, it just elevates me to the place I want to be, but also to help me move.
Let me crush up this 30 real quick. Yeah. That is not how you're supposed to do it, Matthew. Yeah.
I just got 10s. I'm weak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do surround myself with ideas people, but I also need to surround myself with people that are capable of like focusing and
sure.
handling shit, because right. otherwise nothing will get done. But I'm the person who's kind of like always, you know, creatively spinning off into some circle and then...
Like meat straws.
Dude, can we not agree that that's fucking brilliant? I hollowed out a hot dog and sucked a Bloody Mary through it.
Does it impart a lot of flavor?
Meaty as fuck.
Was it a cooked hot dog or just
No. Just got to get that raw dog out that package.
Okay. All right. That's good. Kosher?
Yeah.
Hebrew National, shout out. Love it.
To be fair, it was a ballpark, but I will move to kosher so that we can keep this thing going.
Hey, let's bring the Fenway Franks up from Boston. Bring them down from
They
Boston.
Actually need to be footlongs because they were short and they got stuck in the cup.
I think the goal is to get the cheese stuffed, and then you hollow out the cheese.
That is grody, bro. Oh, my God. Yeah, as though a hot dog straw isn't grody. But whatever. It was fun times. That was our first brunch. If you have no clue what
we're talking about, check out Sebastian's social. You'll see it.
I mean,
oh, yeah, you guys are doing brunch now.
We're calling it weekend lunch because brunch sucks.
It does suck.
It sucks.
Was it something that you thought
always interested? Yeah. It's a necessity.
Because at Red Hen, you guys never have done lunch or
I don't
lunch
know if you've ever been to the Red Hen at 5 o'clock, but there's a line around that goddamn block. Yeah. That place, like, it's an anomaly.
And as patio, and you guys have a beautiful patio at Primrose.
It's pretty hot.
And as the weather gets there.
So, yeah, we launched patio after weekend lunch within like a couple weeks of each other.
Yeah, it was faulted.
I almost fault. But it's fun. It's a cool little menu. You know, it's a lot of stuff from the dinner menu, but then there's a couple items that are kind of like more breakfasty for those breakfasty folks.
What was the one brunch item that you were like, this has to be on the menu?
Like, what's the item that is breakfasty?
Yeah. Like, well, I don't know. Like, I know, like, I'm already thinking forward to MySpace and like, if and when we do brunch, like, we need to have chilaquiles on the menu. Did you have a must have?
Oh, croque monsieur.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. They're so deep. Yeah. So deep, they put your ass to sleep.
Maybe my favorite thing on the planet.
Ice Cube?
For brunch. A croque monsieur.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he's pretty great.
Yeah.
But so are croque
great
monsieur.
Great too, of course.
What's in then? There's Madame. Is that
Madame? Croque Madame is when it has an egg on the top.
Yeah.
We also do those.
Okay, I think that's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's the one.
They're both pretty hot.
But that, I mean, I guess that kind of brings me to like the next question. I mean, you guys are 5 months. The dust is settling.
The dust is settling.
Is this has the concept shifted at all from? I mean,
well, so that's the thing about bringing JDP on is that. We were really kind of like just doing this like very, very traditional bistro stuff for the first couple of months. And we started to branch out a little bit and we were starting to like figure out that we were capable of executing this like traditional bistro stuff, but also being able to work in some creativity. And with John coming on, like he's just so smart and he knows how to teach that kitchen really, really well. And so it's hard for me to let go of those reins a little bit, but the thing is he's got the skill to do it. So I kind of, you know, like occasionally I'm like, yo, dude, you got six swipes on that plate. We're not doing six swipes. We're not doing swipes. That's not happening. There's no fucking gelatin dots or like blah, blah, blah. That's not happening. But like for the most part, like he's nasty. So there's a lot more creativity coming out of the kitchen right now, and it's really nice.
I imagine frees you up to kind of do more on your creative efforts.
I'm still a pain in the ass when it comes to like frites. Fuck. If those aren't right, dude. I'll shut down the kitchen.
Let's talk about that. What is your ideal frite?
So Nate and I did a ton of research for frites. Nathan Beauchamp is the executive chef of the company, and we're sort of under the umbrella. They do Tiger Fork and Calico and all these other places. And Nate's a partner nonetheless, at the restaurant, and he kind of helps oversee everything. So Nate and I did a ton of research, and we ultimately figured out that the Breslin has the best French fries, at least on the East Coast. that we've tasted. And yeah. So we went there a number of times, and Nate went back a number of times and really figured out how they were cooking them, and they're triple fried and they're in duck fat. We weren't going to do the duck fat.
You're doing some serious reverse engineering here.
Correct.
Awesome.
So we didn't do the duck fat thing because obviously we want our fryer to be vegetarian. And we're very, very, we think it's important to have a lot of vegetarian stuff on the menu.
Yeah, but you guys have the
French onion soup is vegetarian.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a rarity. But anyways, so we did a lot of reverse engineering, just like you said, on the French fries and or the frites. And we do triple fry them, but we're in peanut oil, and peanut oil doesn't actually affect most people with peanut allergies, if not all people with peanut allergies. So they are allergen free.
I feel like that's not a well-known fact.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Someone told me that they got jacked up, and I was like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, it's like MSG.
Here's a list of reasons why you didn't get jacked up by the peanut oil.
Right.
It's another conversation.
Okay. We'll sidebar that.
Yeah, sidebar. But yeah, so the frites are like, for me, there's like, there's things in restaurants that are like standbys that need to be held above all other things. And these are much bigger than what I think people consider to be like typical frites from like a traditional bistro. They're much more thick cut. They're more like chips, like British chips.
Yeah.
But that's just the way I like them. So it's my restaurant.
Yeah,
Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. You get to do that. You earn that French fry.
That's right.
It is amazing, though, that the... if you remember when Shake Shack switched from the crinkle fry
dude.
To the fresh fry.
Yeah.
And it created this, like...
There was a fight.
Madness about it. That, you know, as a chef and as a 38-year-old chef, you look at food much differently in creating the perfect French fry.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a level of, like, serenity and just...
It's that labor of love. Yeah.
It's that labor of love to get there.
I thought you said you were 67.
I know. I feel it. When you're younger, you know, that ability to create, and I'm going to create, and I want to think of the next, you know, like you feel like you can recreate the wheel when you're younger in this irresponsible kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about French fries. Like, I very much appreciate that love of it because Primrose, French Bistro, I want steak frites. If the fries suck, like, and that's exactly what answers your mind. Yeah,
that's pretty telltale.
That's an amazing. And as I go into opening a restaurant, I have to think of my core. Like, what are people going to come here for? Because at the end of the day, we can change the menu every day. We can do things, but realistically, there's going to be a little pocket of things that people come back for.
Right.
And if those are your staples, you have to nail it.
They have to be perfect. Like, if my steak frites and my French onion soup aren't perfect every day, I'm fucking shutting the doors.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out.
Yep. It's beautiful. It's a great story.
Now you just opened up Primrose with your wife.
Yeah.
Your partner.
Indeed.
Was that challenging?
No.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. Like, we're really... Yeah. I mean, I kind of worried about it for a minute, but then in the grand scheme of things, I was like, you know what? Like, I don't want to say, like, we both stay in our lane, but we do. Like,
yeah.
We're both... Like, I wasn't, like, jamming down her throat, like, yo, you've got to design this shit like this. Like, I trust her. And, you know, she wasn't like, hey, you have to run your restaurant. Like, of course, there were suggestions here and there. But, like, for the most part, like, we trust each other to make the decisions that both of us are skilled in. And it worked out really well. And I can see that kind of relationship developing further and further in the, you know, whatever we do for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
So, which is great.
That's powerful.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
I similarly am like, how do we stay in our lanes? My wife is very much the creative, like Lauren. And what's ironic is that I trust your wife the same way you do, where I almost at this point, I said to them, just design me a restaurant. I want to operate something. I did our wives loves when we were unemployed and just hustling for a year, you know, and doing these. No, they want us to have our restaurant and be there. And I can appreciate her eye and what she does. And there are plenty of times I've said to Lauren and Brian, just do it. Like, I trust you guys. They've told me no plenty of times. Mm-hmm. I love that about your wife is like, Adam, no, you can't afford this.
Right.
Shut the fuck up. and that's the best part. So I, you know, I can look at what you guys do and very much appreciate. You can walk into Primrose and see Lauren and see yourself in it, but it doesn't, you know, they don't knock heads. It's a very cool way to look at it.
I think it's interesting. Like the bar color right now is obviously my favorite color, right?
So right.
I've got a book in front of me. I've got my phone. I've got some bracelets on that are sort of like all of the
same
color.
You're all the same
color.
Shade,
yeah. Yeah, I kind of always roll in the same color. And she never told me that was going to be the focus of the restaurant. And I walked in one day and they were painting it. I was like, what the shit? She was like, it's for you. And I was like, no way, dude. You're so cool.
Yeah.
Like, but it makes sense. Like, it makes total sense in that space, you know, and it's very New Paris and it's like... I don't know. She's just a smart girl, you know? She's a smart girl, and she knew what she was doing. And
badass.
She is a badass.
Yeah. DC's got a lot of badass women mm-hmm. showing us how to get yeah. it done right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll say that.
Last week we had three of them.
Great show, by the way.
They were awesome. Yeah, I think for anybody who's listening right now and did not listen to the last episode, we talked about Initiative 77, which is it's going to affect all of our industry. So check it out to find out.
They did a great job of breaking that down.
Yeah, they really did.
I've heard from a lot of people that are experts on it, and I felt like listening to your show gave me all I needed to know. And
it's a hard thing to wrap your brain around. I don't know. Have you guys thought about this stuff at all?
Was Jill here?
Jill is here. Yeah.
Yep. So Jill is like Jill is like a family member. Okay. So we've been involved.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
Jill and I
have worked together for like. I mean, obviously, John was at Comey. I opened Comey.
Yeah. Were you at the opening team at Comey?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And then Jill and I worked together at Comey. And then Jill and I worked together at Proof. So, yeah, there's a lot of Jill and Don in my life.
A lot of DC industry entanglement.
Yeah. My life, I was going over it the other day with someone, and I was like, Jesus, some weird shit. A whole lot of people that I've like worked with or.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to step out. When we come back, we're going to talk about, a whole bunch of things.
Great.
Yo, you believe when I want to drop, every girl I wine and go pandemic talk.
And you're listening to Wine Up by Jubilee here on Full Service Radio. Featuring Hood Celebrity, we will be right back on Shift Drink. Keep it locked.
Watch me a move up me body, yeah. Wine up, girl, pop wine up your body. 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 Me and me friends really comfy turn up the party. Watch me a wine and I get naughty. I sick back me love, no to drink and I see. Watch me a wine and I get naughty. Party turn up, party turn up. Watch me a wine and I get naughty. Party turn up, party turn up. Watch me a wine and I get naughty.
All right, welcome back. For those of you just tuning in on this podcast, we have Adam Greenberg.
Howdy.
Guest hosting while Eddie Kim is abroad. And then we have special guest Sebastian Primrose. So before we're talking about you and your wife opening Primrose, it's a wine forward, it's a wine bar, right?
Yeah, except it has food.
With food. It's an amazing wine bar with food.
It's really just like a modern Parisian bistro.
Okay. You went in though with a very specific wine philosophy.
Oui.
Kind of esoteric French.
Uh-huh. It's all natural. It's all natural plus some Virginia stuff because I make wine in Virginia. So.
Yeah. So how does that work?
Which part?
Tell us about your becoming a winemaker, because that's...
Well, I am not a winemaker. Ben Jordan is the winemaker.
Okay.
Represent.
But Ben was my... how do I say this? Okay, so Ben and I kind of got together a long time ago when he was making rosé for a red hen. And I showed up one day and I said, you know, can you make us some rosé? And he said, yeah, sure. I said, you know, I brought some Amaro with me because I make Amaro. And he was like, well, I make Amaro. when I was like, no shit.
So was this the Rosé Cider that you guys did?
No, that was at a different place.
That was Castle Hill, right?
That was Castle Hill, because they have Cueveries, which is, you know, from the Republic of Georgia.
Yeah.
That's a sidebar. Anywho, so Ben and I kind of got to talking, and we figured out that, like, everything in our lives were common. Had same kids, same age, both kind of, like, doing some, like, new interesting shit. Both making a Maro, and I was like, you know, maybe we should like do something together.
You like teal, I like teal.
You like teal, I like teal. It's not teal, by the way.
Aquamarine?
No, like it's got some badass name. It's like Ashtafuchnashna. Yeah.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. But so Ben and I decided to start a wine label, and my brother got involved. Because my brother's rad. Both of my brothers are rad.
Are they older or younger?
Both older. Okay. I'm the baby, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. Fucking searching for that
attention. So you have a wine label.
I have a wine label. Yeah, it's called the Lightwell Survey.
Okay.
It's pretty kooky.
What goes into that? Do you have say in production at all? Or
yeah. How does that work? So Ben and I work pretty collaboratively on like direction. Ultimately Ben's like, yo, if this is gonna suck if I do this, and I'm like, all right, don't do it then. But he and I both kind of like share direction for what's gonna happen, and then John comes in and I work with him on the labels, and then Jason, my brother, is really like the business mind behind all of it. So it's a good team. And then Juju, who does all of our media stuff.
Okay.
And he kind of like lays out labels and stuff like that. So we've got a really solid team right now. And we're moving forward, which is great. So we were at 450 cases last year. We'll be at 550 this year.
And where do these go?
Well, they carry it here at the line.
Fuck
yeah, the line. And then they also, they carry it a bunch of places. It's kind of all over the city right now. We sell it in different retail outlets. They carry them in Richmond, Charlottesville. So we're gonna go up to New York.
Are you using a specific distributor right now, or
yeah, Williams Corner.
Okay. So anybody using Williams Corner, ask about Lightwell Survey.
Williams Corner, please. Rep.
Moving on. I mean, as somebody that deals predominantly in old world wines,
yep.
How does Virginia, DC stack up?
I think it's an interesting thing that people in DC don't recognize that Virginia wine country is 45 minutes away, and it is unbelievably beautiful and producing some great wines. Now, there's a lot of shitty producers, but you could say that about California. There's a ton of shitty producers. You just have to know how to sift through it. I mean, there's only, I think, like 180 producers in Virginia, so it's a really, really small.
Are there any telltales that, like, for, you know, for listeners that might be heading down there that, like, if they have, like, if their main selling point is a blue bottle, maybe they shouldn't.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
if you pull in and it looks like weddings are happening, you should pull out.
Okay. The old pull out method. Okay.
Yeah, that's a sex reference.
Hmm. are there any standouts?
You mean of producers in Virginia?
Yeah.
For me, Linden is sort of like the Pike's Peak of Virginia winemaking.
What are they producing?
So Jim Law has been making wine there for upwards of 30 years. He produces Chardonnay, did some straight, does a bunch of Bordeaux blends, and his wines are just on point. And yeah, he taught the guys at RDV how to make wine, and RDV is making what would probably be considered to be the best Bordeaux blend coming out of Virginia right now.
Right on.
And those guys are super close. I mean, they're like an hour if you're hitting a little traffic. And that's Northern Virginia. And then you get into the Shenandoah, and there's Barbersville and Early Mountain, and just, you know, people doing some really, really solid stuff.
As somebody who hasn't lived here and moved here roughly 3 years ago, I can tell you people from the outside, Virginia doesn't make good wine. You know, it's correct, just kind of a blanket statement.
So, it's so silly.
What is it about the terroir or the climate or something that for you makes it, you know, habitable? I mean, essentially that people think that it's crap. You found a way to make something that maybe if you had better climate or better terroir, you'd be able to do something even better, but you found a way to make something very good out of something maybe, you know, that's a little more challenging, sure, the best word.
So I guess the thing is that there's not a ton of people that are making wine in Virginia that were very site-specific. Like, they weren't searching for a specific site, you know. Instead, they just planted grapes, and they were like, yeah, fuck it, we're going to make wine. And it's like, well, yeah, but you have to be really smart about it, especially in a place like Virginia where there's tons of humidity, there's tons of pests, so you kind of have to get away from them, right? You have to figure out how it's going to work in your favor. So you've got people like Oxeye, who are making Riesling, which is totally crazy, in Southern Virginia, but they're higher altitude because you can go up higher in the mountains. You've got people like Ankita Ridge, who are making Pinot Noir and Chardonnay way up on the mountain ridge. And it's like, you know, they got high enough to get away from all these humidity problems and these bug problems. And then you've got, you know, the other guys that are making all these Bordeaux blends, like, these grapes need to get ripe, you know, so they're a little bit lower in terms of elevation. But yeah, like I said, there's a lot of people that just kind of like, we're just excited about planting grapes and just,
right.
And they're not good winemakers.
Sure.
So, I mean, but again, it happens everywhere. You know, this is just like kind of like an up and coming scene. But when you look at Rucker at RDV, like, I mean, he spent like 5 years searching for a site, and his stuff grows on a hillside, specifically all granite. And so, I mean, those plants have to grow through granite just to get,
yeah,
you know, just to get to water. And for them, it's all about getting through that and gaining the minerality through those rocks, which is totally not really thought of all that much in most of Virginia.
Are all these biodynamics that you're talking about?
No. Okay. No, there's really, I don't think there's anybody that's biodynamic or organic in Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Not that I can think of. So that's the thing, is my wine list, while it's completely natural, the Virginia stuff is not.
Okay.
I just don't think that the risk is so huge, you know, like, and these guys are all small. So the risk is so huge, I don't know that anybody's willing to jump on that train, sure, quite yet.
Did you have, I mean, how did you decide to, like, what, I mean, cause you're doing a couple of Riesling blends, right?
There's one straight Riesling, there's one Riesling and Syrah blend, and then there's one Riesling and Petite Mansang blend. Yeah.
Now, were these grapes that were available to you that you're like, oh yeah, that'd be good? Or were these grapes that you kind of sought after?
We sought them out. So Ben is from the region.
Yeah.
And he, so that's the other thing is, you know, Ben actually knows his way around the region, which is fantastic. So he learned how to make wine at Ant Hill Farms, which is one of my favorite, take it easy, it's one of my favorite Pinot Noir producers in Sonoma. And when he came back, he knows so many grape growers that it made sense, you know, for him to be able to. That's why one of those wines is called Hinterman, because he just basically had to, like, go all over the fucking place, right, to find grapes. And that's why it's called the Lightwell Survey, because we had to survey so much of Virginia to find all this stuff. Because we're not grape growers. We're,
yeah,
you know, we buy stuff and make it out of it. But it's all from Virginia, so that's cool.
Very cool.
Amazing.
I don't know. I find myself, personally, like, when I go on vacations, it's usually, like, food is like the first consideration of where we're going.
Yeah, you're telling me.
I'm imagining you go on some pretty serious wine adventures.
Yeah, it depends. So obviously if I'm going to a place that's got a really nice wine, you know, situation nearby, I find it to be very important. This is a bit of a sidebar, but, you know, also it makes sense. So I really want to open a bar called the Busman's Holiday.
Okay.
And a Busman's Holiday is a term that they use in the UK, and it's when you go on vacation and you do what it is that you do for a living.
Right.
But while you're on vacation.
Yeah.
It's like the greatest name for a bar ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, much like you, like, anytime I go anywhere, I spend, and my wife is always like, yeah, I'm just going to leave that shit to you. Like,
right,
you research everything we're going to go eat and drink. And I do. I spend weeks, you know, doing it. But if we're going to, like, you know, Italy, I'm like, all right, like, we're going to get posted up in, like, three different places. It's going to be great. I mean, we went to Italy, Lauren and I went to Italy once, and it was, I mean, that shit was ridiculous. Like, we stayed over at Sassicaia, and we had, like,
ooh, baby,
tasting the next day at Ornellaia, and, like, yeah, it was rad.
Oh.
Super rad. And when I travel for work, it's always wine-based.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah.
Adam, have you been any food destinations recently?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Spain 3 times. Obviously, I was doing tapas for so long.
Topless?
You know, I always mumble that. Topless tapas. Tapas.
Ooh.
So I just love culture and food, and obviously life and what it brings and how people celebrate. And that's really, I mean, plugging Coconut Club for a second, that's really when people ask me about my restaurant. I'm not selling me and the food and the drink as much as it is about the experiential. Sit down and have a great time. And that's like when you go overseas and you, I mean, that feeling of vacation, islands, whatever you do, but it all congregates around a table and people having a good time and enjoying food and drink, and you want to know why. And I actually segue into a question for you is, I'm not a big wine drinker. I love it. Like, I love sort of, kind of like I got into craft beers. I won't sit down and pound six beers. I'm just not a big drinker. But I'll get a craft beer or a local beer or whatever you want to call it for the flavor, for the taste. What's like, for you right now, what wine are you drinking? And like, shitty day wine? So you had a shitty day. You want a glass of wine. And then give me like, it's beautiful out. I want a glass of wine. Like, what are you drinking today?
It's like a wine mixtape.
It's kind of, yeah, wine mixtape. It's funny because I know asking like this generic sort of question of what's your favorite wine? It's got to change. Like, we all have flavors and things that develop over time and kind of what's hot, what's not, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody's into frosé.
So.
For those of you who can't see his face right now, he is nodding with enthusiasm.
So
he
Primrose loves it. Will not have frosé, apparently.
Gag me with a spoon, bro.
There you go.
So I would say that any day of the week, I will drink Chenin Blanc. Like, I'm a white wine drinker. Like, it's rare that you're going to find me, like, ripping red wine. Especially, like, I'll never drink red wine in the daytime. It's just, there's something about it. And I'm just gross. Yeah. Shitty day? I don't know. Shitty day? Chenin Blanc? great day.
Two Chenin Blancs.
Chenin Blanc.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good, man.
I actually really don't care. To be honest, like, at the end of the night, if I'm going to sit around and have a glass of wine, I just say to my staff, I'm like, if there's some, whatever is open.
Yeah, that's the owner in you, though.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Well, yeah, no, but I mean, the thing is, they're all my babies, you know? So like, I picked them all for a particular reason.
Sure.
That's also the benefit of running the wine program at your own restaurant is like, I'm never getting a shitty glass of wine.
Right.
Like, it's just like every one of them I'm stoked to drink. Now there is a Sauvignon Blanc on that list and I'm like, meh. But at the same time, it's kind of sparkling and it's super weird and it's cloudy and it's pretty funky.
Right.
So you know, it's up my alley.
Actually, yeah. That's the second time you've used the word weird when it comes to your wine list. So what, you love weird.
Like, I do.
You know what I mean? So
I
like, why are you most proud of it being weird and what makes it weird?
I like changing people's minds, you know? Like, I think everybody has this thought that like, you only have like 8 grapes to pick from. You've got like Pinot Noir, Cabernet, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay,
Merlot.
And you've got like these things and there's nothing else out there, or that can't be any different than it was the last time you drank it. And like, for me, it's just a very like, it's a very rigid way to look at life and it's a very rigid way to look at wine. And I just find wine to be a very, very creative category in the world that you can really express yourself as million, like a many, many times over. And so I don't know. That's just the artist in me that like likes to see, you know, different colors of the same idea. You know, it's like, do you want to look at a rose every day and only see it in red, or do you want to see it, you know, 50 different colors?
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I just think there's so much rigidity in the way that people look at life, and there's a thousand.
I think when you get to see, call them somms, or somebody like an owner who gets to pick their wine list, I think when there's no restrictions, you really get to see them in the wine list, which I think is cool. And I work. Gretchen Thomas with the Barcelona Group for a long time. She is like the queen of Spain when it comes to wine and has done a lot of things out there. And you can expressively see kind of what she likes and how she likes to pass value to people. And I love that about Primrose. Is we've had some of the best glasses of wine there for, you know, $10, $11.
And your menu is basically your playlist, sounds like.
It is. You know, I've always had an interesting approach to wine, and I think that my goal has always been to kind of find the people that are doing different things, because, you know, I grew up a punk rock kid, and, you know, I went to art school, and, you know, I'm just a different person. And
oh yeah, we were both photography majors.
That's right.
I just found that out today.
That's right. And so, yeah, I always look at that world through like that artistic lens. And then for me to kind of jump into wine where it's like, everything's gotta be 100 points and everything's gotta like, you know, like represent like the Grand Cru's and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, but there's these weird motherfuckers doing this weird shit over here. And it's like $20 versus you're like $500. I'm going to go check that out, you know? And like, you know, I can pass that on and like people can check that out and be like, wow, this is really neat. Like, you don't have to love it, but like, at least you know it's there.
I know for me personally, for somebody that, you know, also did photography and then transitioned into multiple other careers.
Because there's no money in photography.
Yeah. It's kind of chasing that creative high, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me now with food, that's like, food is now my medium through which I express myself creatively.
Yeah,
it sounds like
that's the wine list for me. You know, it's like, I don't know, There's just a bunch of like wily characters doing a bunch of weirdo stuff, and I identify with it, and so I want to put them up on a pedestal and, you know, let the world see what they're up to.
Rising tide floats all boats.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are nearing the end of our show, but before we go, we're going to do a little thing called rapid fire.
Okay.
Time for the payback.
Rapid fire.
How was that sound effect?
It's fucking hot.
Yeah. All right. So this, the idea of this is we're just going to shoot out some questions. First thing that comes to mind, tip of tongue. Here we go. Cumero, numero, uno. What is your most unusual nighttime or morning ritual?
Turkey sandwich with mayonnaise.
Perfect.
Nintendo or Sega?
Nintendo. Fuck Sega.
Favorite curse?
Fuck.
Walkman or Discman?
Indie Nerd says Walkman.
Yes. I was hoping you'd say that.
Best wine bar DC outside of yours, obviously.
Maxwell.
Shout out Brent.
Shout
Daniel.
Out
Brent. Nikki. Love you guys.
Second place gets Dabney.
Nice.
Dabney. Alex rules.
Shout out. Napster or LimeWire?
Ooh, I liked both of them, but I'm going to go LimeWire.
Nice.
Yeah, all of my computers got hacked because of LimeWire. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I was just talking with some youngerlings, and we were talking about social media, and it was like somebody made a Friendster joke, and they're like, what's Friendster?
Yes. I had the same thing happen the other day.
Yeah. It was the beginning of everything, man. Go to teenage drink.
Teenage drink?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like young you.
Grape soda?
No, with booze.
Oh, 40s.
40s. You went malt liquor was
first
your
first thing I ever got drunk off of.
Woo. Snoop.
Right?
We're talking high gravity? Blue
OE.
Bowl?
OE.
OE. Okay. Nice.
Bumpers. Bumpers of OE.
When was the last time you played Edward 40 Hands?
The first time I played Edward 40 Hands. I believe I was 17 and it was the last time.
Have you ever played Edward Buddy Hands where you include a friend in one, you share one mutual 40?
Oh, I thought it involved weed.
It's like, it's no. A little bit more doable, but it's also like a lot more awkward because when you have to pee, you're like definitely attached to somebody else.
Yeah. Hold my dick.
Yeah.
AOL IM name. I'm just keeping this in that early 90s, you know?
Ooh.
Do you remember yours?
I really don't remember.
Boop.
Yeah, I don't remember. I wish I could.
Everybody remembers that. Okay.
As somebody that owns a date night like destination, mm-hmm. what's your perfect DC date night?
I own a restaurant, so we don't really have date nights. But if I did,
yeah.
I'm gonna go. Shit. Daikaya.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sit there and eat soup across from each other, slurp and get stuff all over yourself.
Yeah.
Sounds super romantic.
Yeah, perfect.
We both love ramen.
Nice.
Right on.
There's nothing romantic about that answer.
No, that's
super bright room, you know, like
yeah. Get some corn on the cob on the side.
I can see you so perfectly in these lights.
All right. This is borrowed from the movie Sideways. And I think I already know what you're going to say.
Gross.
I feel like we covered it. What grape varietal best describes you?
Syrah, because it's black as night like my heart.
Okay. But not like your hair. All right. Adam, did you have a...
To be honest, though, it would probably be Chenin Blanc because it's complete. Yeah, it's just a complete chameleon of a grape. Like it
I
can
feel
be
like
dry.
You
can
are
be
one
sweet.
With the Chenin Blanc.
Yeah, it can be round. It can be really high acid.
Okay,
so, you know,
all right.
Like my heart.
Really high favorite acid. Cartoon as a kid?
Tom and Jerry.
I'm just gonna throw this out for Eddie Kim because this is his favorite question to ask. Deathbed meal.
Philadelphia cheesesteak from John's Roast Pork. First course. Buffalo wings with chunky blue cheese and celery, followed
I'm
up.
I'm glad you like designated ranch versus blue cheese.
Fuck yeah. And then to finish up with ice cream cake from Carvel.
Hell yeah.
Not the first time you've been asked that question.
So anybody that's listening to this that knows me knows that I spend my entire time asking everybody all these questions. Let me fire one back at you, boys.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Reverse rapid fire. Jack, hit the sound
effect. Bow, bow, bow.
If you could only have fried chicken or hamburgers for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Hamburgers.
If you could only have hamburgers or pizza for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Hamburgers.
I see where you guys are going with this. If you could only have pizza or fried chicken for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Shit. So it's hamburgers first, pizza second, fried chicken third?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus. If you could only have fried chicken or hot dogs for the rest of your life?
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
Okay.
Yeah. I love a good Chicago dog, though.
Yeah.
They're damn good.
Pretty good.
All right.
Great questions.
Fantastic. We're going to do a little finishing segment called Marry, Fuck, Kill. Now this is one we have already done previously with guest Andrew Lindberg,
ADL,
who actually he requested both of you in his restaurant dream team.
He did. That was really sweet. Yeah.
So sweet.
I love that guy.
So we're gonna ask you the same question here: Marry, Fuck, Kill, Vino Wine Trend Edition. So biodynamic wine. Grower, champagne, or pet net?
What am I answering?
Which one you'd like to marry, which one like you to fuck, and which one you'd like to kill?
What was the first? And then again, give me...
Biodynamic.
Yep.
Grower, champagne.
Uh-huh.
Pet net.
Kill pet net.
Okay.
Fuck grower, champagne. Marry biodynamics.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pet net thing
it's
like...
It's very Chenin Blanc of you.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I love pet net. It's great. But like every motherfucker is like, I've got this like, yeah. I got this pet net from like Syracuse and it's made by Egyptians.
Oh my God.
And it's only bound in like super ironic cloth. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What is that accent?
I don't know.
It's upstate New York.
It was Long Island, actually.
Yeah.
Long Island goes to Syracuse.
A lot of good fruit wines out there.
Had something once.
Easy. My wife's from Long Island.
Yeah, I'm from Long Island.
I also went to Syracuse.
Strong so Island.
Shit on it.
Hey, I'm from Syracuse.
I went to Syracuse.
My dad was
for a year. Let's
I'm
not lie.
From Syracuse. I'm from Buffalo.
I partied at Syracuse for a year. Let's not lie.
Yeah.
I didn't make it.
Sebastian,
represent.
Thank you for joining us, man.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks, brother.
It's been a lot of fun. Adam Greenberg.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you for co-hosting.
Eddie Kim, we miss you, man.
We do.
Eddie Kim, hurry on back. Well, thank you, everybody. You can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts. Find us on all social medias at ShiftDrinkDC. Next week, Bill Murray will be joining us to discuss horseradish and the cows that love it.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.